If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
The power of syndication and real estate is just so amazing. Right now, there's so much money out there that needs to be placed. We as operators just need to position ourselves with credibility and position ourselves with high value assets to bring to the table.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bryce Robertson, your real estate mate, is an Aussie-born real estate investing entrepreneur, number one international best-selling author, world traveler, and adventurer. Bryce began his investing career with a negative net worth, unseasoned credit, and a mere $2,000 in the bank. Having raised millions of dollars and a culmination of success in mobile home park investing, Bryce lives the freedom trinity of financial, time, and location freedom. Bryce is the host of the YouTube channel and video podcast Freedom Hack Radio, co-author of 10,000 Miles to the American Dream. He writes weekly articles for Bigger Pockets and has a number one top-selling mobile home park investing and capital raising home study courses. Bryce, welcome to the show.
G'day, mate. Great to be here.
Man, pleasure to have you on. You've almost achieved legend status, I think, at this point. So, you know, with everything you guys have done, your book, and I'm excited really just to dig into your story a little bit. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on, if you can briefly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
So I basically started in my 30s, and I had a burning desire to change my circumstances. I at the point had a background of construction and construction management of about 17 years, 20 years. And I knew that lifestyle wasn't for me. I wanted to recreate the life that I've created, traveling all over the world, but this time without our money running out. So we explored all the three possibilities of ways we can make huge money, which is owning a business, the stock market, or real estate. And after spinning plates and trying everything at once, I ended up settling for laser focusing on one thing, which ended up being mobile home park investing.
That's history. That's all you've done is mobile home parks.
That's mainly mobile home parks. You know, we've got multifamily apartments, automatic teller machine fund, some other stuff going on as well, but mainly mobile home parks. That's my specific niche that I'm involved in. And so when I started, I had a net worth of negative. I had a negative net worth. I had unseasoned credit because I hadn't been in America long enough. And I had $2,000 in the bank. And I went out there and I knew I wanted mobile home parks. I got a mobile home park under contract and just figured all the rest out.
Wait, so one, hats off to you. That's awesome. I can't wait to really hear what it is that you, obviously you just took the bull by the horns and said, okay, I'm going to make this work. I mean, it sounds like you were at the point where there weren't options. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I knew my end goal. I wanted to get my first park, and I was willing to do whatever I could do within my values and morals to get it.
Sure.
And all I knew was the next step. That's literally all I knew was the next step. It's like, all right, next step is I have to get this thing under contract. And then I got it under contract, and I'm like, next step, I have to raise capital and do some due diligence and inspections. So I started raising capital.
What was the size of that park? I do want to hear about this deal because I'm not, maybe this story is in your book, maybe it's not, but I do kind of want to capture this because I'm really just super curious. Like,
sure. Mobile home park, California, 37 spaces, one single family residence. And I think there was about 32 occupied spaces or something like that. And about 6 or 7 vacant spaces. That was the metrics on purchase. We ended up purchasing it for $570,000, which put it at a 12 cap. And this is in California too. So a 12 cap mobile home park in California, pretty amazing deal, super stoked on it. And then I just went out and started raising capital, and I ended up closing on it with friends and family, like most people do on the first deals. But once I closed on that deal, it was just like, I felt like I was 10 foot tall and anything was possible. And the reason I got that deal done is, one, because I was motivated and I had the right mindset. But two, I used the power of raising capital and the power of syndication to get the deal done. And so I opened up a deal where I didn't have the capacity to close it myself. I opened up to my investors who didn't have the capacity to be able to get involved in the deal without me. And then it was a win-win situation. And fast forward, I'm super stoked on this one because So the my investors in this deal, they said, if you can give me 12% annual returns, we'll be blown away. And I'm like, cool. I'm pretty sure we're going to fall in between 20 and 33%. But I told them we've got 20%, 33 possibly. We ended up closing. We sold the property 4.5 years later for $1.3 million. And our investors ended up making like 57.6% annual returns.
Wow.
What did I learn from that? One, I was super stoked that they got to make huge returns because I would not have been able to do the deal without them. And that was the pinnacle beginning of my career. So that was super cool. But I also learned that's not how you structure deals with investors because, I mean, if everybody else was giving out 60% returns each year to the investors, it'd be a whole different game field. So I gave away too much value to my investors because I didn't know back then how to structure deals properly. But, you know, lessons learned and everything was all good.
Right. I want to dig into how you would have structured it differently because I think that's a curious topic. But I mean, not to argue with you, but to counter your point, you know, maybe you gave away too much on that or maybe you gave away just the right amount because it got you in the deal.
Yeah. Like, you know, looking back, would I change anything? No, I'm stoked for my investors and I'm stoked that happened and I'm stoked for everything that happened after that because that gave me so much confidence and that gave me so much street cred. That, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to your first one out of the gate to be an absolute home run, I mean, yeah, what better outcome could you have asked for? Let's dig into that a little bit and tell us how you would have structured it differently. Like what would you do differently now that, you know, you didn't do then?
Well, what I do differently now is I structure the deals. So there's a more of a defined layout of what my investors are going to receive. I focus more on how much cash flow they're going to get and then add in the equity that would be needed to that at the end of the investment. So the way that we structure deals now is typically with a preferred return. And then we do some kind of split after that. Usually it's a 70-30 split where 70% of the cash flow and equity typically goes to our investors and 30% goes to me and my partners for managing and operating the deal. And that seems to be a better way to structure it. The way I did structure that one was just like, hey, you guys just get certain percentage of everything. And there was so many different things I left on the table, like management fees, asset management fees, acquisition fee, all these, none of these things I even knew about that an operator can participate in. And I pretty much was just like, I'm not going to charge hardly anything and let's just split it at the end. And so super stoked I did that deal, but you know, I won't be going around giving away 60% to people moving forward.
Right. Understood. Yeah. You're doing all the work. You want to get paid for it as well. Mm-hmm. You should. So where are you guys today? So that was your first deal. Let's talk about now. What is Bryce Robertson investing in?
So Q1 2021, at the end of Q1, my partners and I will be at about 70 million under management. And my main focus is mobile home parks. We've also got a little bit of self-storage and some alternative investments. Last year, I did an automatic teller machine fund. And then my partners help out with some multifamily apartments. So yeah, this year's a pretty big year for us for acquisitions. We're under contract on a handful of properties right now. We're seeing a lot of good momentum. It's just like, it's almost like the stars and moons have aligned for me, especially in the mobile home park space with all of my experience and everything. It's built up to be, it's a very advantageous time for me and my partners right now.
Right. That's great. And typically momentum, you know, begets more momentum. So it's one of those things that once you get moving, it just seems like things start to happen on their own.
Yeah. And the timing right now, I mean, our initial focus was recession resistant investments. We knew a recession was coming up. We didn't know it was going to be COVID that would trigger it, but you know, weren't surprised last year when that happened. And now we're in a position where mobile home parks are in even more demand because, you know, when everybody's getting foreclosed on and evicted and can't pay their rents, it's all compressing down to them moving to cheaper and cheaper housing options, and pretty much the cheapest option, unless you want to be homeless or sleep in your car, is to be in a mobile home park. And so we get all that compression pushing down to the bottom. Now we've got waiting lists. I mean, my investors for the first time ever are actually like calling me and saying, hey man, when's the next deal? I'm like, I'll give you an update in 2 weeks. And they're saying, hey, 3 days later, they're like, you got an update yet? There's just a lot of pent up demand from investors. We've got backup demand from our tenants because we can't even keep up with the demand there. It's very good timing for the mobile home park space.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. And the, you know, obviously there's lots of homework people can do. You know, we're not going to get into this, but lots of homework you could do on why the mobile home park space is a compelling asset class. Let's, instead of going down that rabbit hole, because I do think it's a compelling asset class for all the reasons you just mentioned, but let's talk about how you scaled. Obviously, the name of the show is How to Scale Commercial Real Estate. And so I really want to maybe wind the tape back a little bit and go back to, you finish your first deal, but then walk us through some of the steps you took, some of the people you hired. Like, how did you build this machine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the first steps was outsourcing the things that weren't really giving a big return on investment, that weren't really changing the bank. So one of the first things we outsourced is bookkeeping. And then we started implementing systems. Yeah, first, we started off using software like QuickBooks to track our accounting. And then we upgraded to Rent Manager, which is more sophisticated. And once you get onto it, there's a lot of automated things that can go out, like rent raises and different things, leases, changes, and stuff like that can all go through the system. And then just trying to look at all of the areas of the business that if I'm not involved, is there going to be a huge difference in our net operating income? Or can I outsource it to somebody? And, you know, so I'm just looking at the main things that are really moving net operating income. And they're the things that I'm going to be involved in, which is content creation, marketing, and sort of being the face of the company. As I've expanded, has been the area that I've grown on. Since then, I've also taken on different partners as well. And I've got a main partner, Nolan Freeland, that works with me in the mobile home park space. He originally was one of my students, and then he worked with me for about 3 years until we started legit doing deals together. And so, you know, it's basically just scaling, looking at the areas that where's the best use of my time to create the biggest return on investment. And I've actually got a way of figuring that out. I like to create a spreadsheet where I get all of the tasks for a business and then all of the items that are going to massively increase NOI. I am going to go in there and I'm going to put a green highlight beside them, a bright green highlight. And then I'm going to go to all the items that are going to create a little bit of difference in the NOI, but not a massive difference. And I'm going to go light green on all of those highlighted. And then there's all the items that don't make a return on investment, but they're administrational and they need to be done, like bookkeeping and things like that. And I'll put a red highlight beside those. And then there's another section of things that I just love doing and I'm super passionate about. Like, I write articles for Bigger Pockets and I podcast and stuff like this. I love doing this. So this is, I get like a lot of things out of this apart from just business. And so I put all those items in blue, the items that I'm passionate about as well. And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, I'm going to outsource all the red stuff. That's the first step. Outsource all the red stuff because I don't need to do it. It's not a good way, a use of my time. Then when I get to the next level and I'm still too busy with the greens, I look at how I can outsource some of the light green stuff there as well. And I really want to just stay in the highlighted, the bright green section and the blue section and just focus on the things that are massively driving my company. Another thing that really played a huge role in scaling is syndication and the power of other people's money and capital raising. And it's really, really a win-win setup because there's no way I would be at the place I am today without all of my investors joining me along the way. And so I've got tons of gratitude for that. And I'm really, really stoked about that. And at the same time, there's no way that my investors would have been able to get to where they are without being involved in these deals, that otherwise they wouldn't have the resources, the bandwidth to be able to pull together and be involved in. So it really is a win-win situation, but that's allowed me to massively scale. So, you know, an example, $1 million mobile home park, if we have to come in with $300,000 down payment and then maybe $200,000 in capital expenditures, that's $500,000 that I could use of my money, or I can throw $50,000 in and join my investors and then bring 9 other investors in, and then boom, I can go out and get 9 more parks. You know what I'm saying? And so that's really how we've scaled. It's the power of syndication and real estate is just so amazing. Right now, there's so much money out there that needs to be placed. We as operators just need to position ourselves with credibility and position ourselves with high value assets to bring to the table. And that's something we teach in our, Reed and I teach in our syndication course.
Right, right. Okay, cool. That's great. That's great. And I will want to hear before this is over, make sure we get on, obviously we'll get your contact info and plug that as well, because I think that brings awesome value to people. So that's super cool. I love the spreadsheet idea. You know, I've heard different ways of kind of, you know, putting this, which is the who, not how. You know, I've heard, you know, only do what I can do, those types of phrases. You know, those are certainly metrics that I've used, but I've not yet put a spreadsheet down and said, because we all get caught up in that. I think, you know, there's always that administrative task that, even so far as a LinkedIn response, maybe it's not something that you have to respond to necessarily. It can be a, oh, hey, here's how you can connect with. And those are things that, you know, you could spend all day just replying to that stuff.
And it's when we compare all the different things that are going on, usually the bright green items require us to get outside of our comfort zone a little bit and take a little bit of risk. And it's like, you know, as entrepreneurs, that's probably instinctively some of the stuff that we would push to the, you know, let's do a couple of easy things first. But people can really get stuck doing all that easy stuff that you were just mentioning and not realize, man, I'm spending 80% of my day doing things that aren't moving the needle, you know?
Oh, no, you're preaching, man. You're preaching to the choir right now. And it's these are, if we were just having a one-on-one, I appreciate you're encouraging me to get my stuff straight, because you're absolutely right. It's so easy to get on and do those easy knock them out things because it feels good. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, oh yeah, I got something done today, versus the green stuff, which is move the needle. And those are things. I've got a phrase, you know, my 2021, like my objective for 2021 is to be uncomfortable in everything I undertake.
Beautiful, beautiful.
No matter what I'm doing, I have to be uncomfortable in it. And if it doesn't meet that, I'm probably not doing the right thing.
Because that's when you grow. When you're outside of your comfort zone, that's when you're growing.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. I love that, dude. That was one of my goals like 3 or 4 years ago. And that year I had such huge results. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. No, this is absolutely great. So you figured out systems, you focus in the green, in the blues, you know, you guys have grown. What does, I know acquisition, you said Q1 is looking really good for you guys. What's the next iteration of your company? What does growth look like for you outside of acquiring maybe more assets?
I mean, we're making a huge impact in the mobile home park space. Actually, one of my mates, Blake Comfort, he's another mobile home park operator. I was on his podcast the other day, the Trailer Podcast, and he wears a hat, says, make trailer parks great again. And he just cruises around wearing that, and people ask him questions and whatever, and they find out that he turns around mobile home parks. But I mean, that's what we're doing in this space. I mean, right now, I believe personally that the largest real estate problem in America is the need for affordable housing. Mm. The amount of people that need affordable housing compared to the amount of affordable housing that's available. And when I say that, I mean something that's, you know, a housing cost of $700 a month or less, then mobile home parks are the largest contributor to solving that problem. But mobile home parks alone can't even solve that problem. So I feel like right now, at least over the next few years, because that's my personal belief on my research with the economy, that we're going to see some pretty dramatic things happening over the next 2-3 years here. And then we're probably going to see a couple of decades on the back end until it ramps back up to a place that we'd probably all like to see it. But, you know, over the next few years, we've got a lot of work to do, and we've got a lot of affordable housing to improve and create and provide for people. And that's really important to us. So that's pretty much our focus right now.
Right. And so do you, on that affordable housing, because it's funny, I was having breakfast with somebody this morning and we talked about that. I said, look, this demographic is just going to grow. Mm. Like the need for affordable housing, either if it's workforce housing or low income housing, tax credit properties or whatever it is, like that's an underserved niche. What other opportunities outside of mobile home parks?
Yeah. So I see an opportunity in the retail space, hotels, also retail buildings, all the ones that just got crushed by COVID that just won't be able to come back. Those buildings will still be able to be used for something else. Some of them will be used for warehouses, for Amazon to be able to ship more stuff out so they can dominate and control a bit more. And then some of the other stuff is going to be that can be converted by creative investors that look at an office building and somehow figure out how to creatively, with the right zoning and with the right remodeling, turn it into some kind of affordable housing. I really think that we're going to see big movements in that space, in a lot of retail space, office buildings. There's just a lot of real estate that can be repurposed. And if you look at this real estate needs to be repurposed because it's just going to be sitting there. And then there's a need for affordable housing. I'm pretty sure that's going to line up. And, you know, we can also help out with like tiny homes and shipping containers and small different alternative types of housing like this. But I think the huge opportunity outside of mobile home parks is going to be conversion of single family homes, multifamily homes, you know, like quadplexes and triplexes, and then also office buildings and retail. Some of it, a portion of it that can you can do it in the right zoning, being converted into affordable housing.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see who enters that space and what that becomes. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of that stuff be converted into other things. Either mm-hmm. it's, you know, giant department stores turning into self-storage or, yeah, the repurposing of a lot of these kind of legacy asset classes that are now really just going under, I think is going to be a unique transformation across the country. So yeah. That's fascinating. Hey, let's jump into the final four here. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Mate, it would definitely be figure out your end goal. Make sure you set your goals correctly. But all you need to know is your end goal and your next step. Seriously, that's literally all you need to know. And if you guys want to hack on goal setting, I am the host of Freedom Hack Radio, and I just literally had a 1.5-hour episode on goal setting. And I've got a goal setting template and all that kind of stuff. So I'll share that link with you and totally free for all your listeners. And, but yeah, set your goals, know where you're going. And then all you need to know is the next step. Don't freak yourself out with all the stuff in between because it doesn't matter. Honestly, you don't need to know it. All you need to do is just next step.
Next step, man. I love it. I love that easy to follow format because I think you're right. Often we're like, oh crud, there's a lot to be done. And that gets overwhelming. So next step only. Keep it easy, man. I love that. Let's see. And I've actually downloaded and used your goal setting template. So thank you for that. That's
beautiful.
A great resource. Yeah, absolutely. It might even, yeah. I think it's still in my morning routine. I had it in there last year, and it was great. So thanks for that. Number two is what is one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Is my goal setting and my morning routine. That's pretty much a huge part of my goal setting this year is to stay on top of my morning routine. And in my morning routine, I take care of all the parts of my life outside of business. So I take care of health, relationships, spirituality, having fun, all that kind of stuff in a little 3-hour chunk in the mornings. And then by 10 o'clock, boom, it's business and I'm on. And I find that works really well for me because I'm not sitting there through my business day going, oh, after this, I have to work out. Then I'm going to do yoga. Then I'm going to read a chapter of my book. I've done all that stuff in the morning. So.
Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome. And I love the fact that you start at 10 o'clock. I mean, that, you know, most people would feel guilty about that. But for you, you've rearranged your day to fit your lifestyle. So that's great. Number three is when it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
That would definitely be education. That'd be coming on podcasts like this, hosting live events like mobile home park education, teaching people how to raise capital. I've also got those available in home study courses. My mates and I wrote a book, 10,000 Miles to the American Dream. I launched my podcast last year called Freedom Hack Radio, where we teach people the freedom trinity of financial, time, and location freedom and how to reach fulfillment by growing and maintaining balance in wealth, health, relationships, spirituality, and having fun. And so I really feel like I'm dedicated because what happened to me, you know, I told you my circumstances when I started. Fast forward 2.5 years later, I became financially free through mobile home park investing. My life radically changed. Once I reached that point, the weight was off my shoulders. And I'm just like, man, I want everybody else that's in the circumstances that I was in to also have this information presented to them so they have the possibility to live the life that I do as well. Because it's night and day difference. Now I do whatever I want, when I want, all over the world, anywhere. And it's because of real estate and it's amazing. And I'm humbled and blessed by that, but also so destined and so passionately want to share that with everybody so they can experience it. Because I truly believe that if you're listening to this podcast, you can be financially free. And it's not even as hard as what you think it is, especially when you compare it to doing the day-to-day grind.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. If a listeners want to get in touch with you, Bryce, how do we do that?
You can email me, Bryce@PropertyWorksUSA. That's BRYCE at PropertyWorks. Works ends with a Z or a Z, USA.com. You can also check out my website, PropertyWorksUSA.com, and sign up to join the Inner Circle, which you'll receive a free copy of my book. And then you'll also be on our Inner Circle for communications on upcoming investments, and educational resources, and everything like this as well.
Bryce, thanks for coming on, man. This was great.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor,
And subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.